Well, welcome to another episode of our podcast, Indiana is Ag Plus Bio Plus Science, presented by Agrinovus Indiana and Inside Indiana Business. I'm Gary Dick, the host of Inside Indiana Business, also the host of this weekly podcast where we have in-depth conversations with leaders, innovators, entrepreneurs in Indiana's ag bioscience sector, that sector where food, agriculture, science, and technology all converge. This week, excited to sit down with Tate Powell, Senior Vice President, Communications and Public Relations Director at First Farmer Bank and Trust. And Tate, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me, Gary.
First of all, I want to get a little background on you and your path to where you are now. Where'd you grow up? Are you a native Hoosier?
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up in Marion. My father's family is originally from Converse, but I grew up in Marion and Indiana University for college and moved out to Seattle for a little bit, but the pulls of the home state and family tugged me back.
That's good. It's good to have you back, the brain regain, get you back into the state.
Exactly.
I've always been in the banking industry. Has this been something you've always been interested in?
I kind of matriculated into banking, through some family connections with the organization. In college, I was, involved in a lot of different marketing and public relations and contributions and recruiting. And at the time, 1995, our organization was about $100 million in assets. And some consultant someplace told the board of directors that we needed a marketing director and we needed some specialization in that. So right place, right time, right understanding of some unique things in banking.
Yeah. Well, you talk about unique things in banking. It's an industry that continues to change dramatically, so much change at all levels. Talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. The evolution of finance, financial community banks in particular has been quite dramatic in the 25 years that I've been with that organization. And we've had to adapt to a significant amount of technology change. We've had to adapt to an incredible amount of consolidation. The types of industries that we serve are incredibly dynamic. So the organization is, we're committed to retaining the flavor and the culture of community banking, but the necessity of having products and services that will compete with, what we would consider the big boys and the big guys and the multinationals.
What, in your view, has been key to First Farmers surviving and thriving in that environment? Because as a community bank, you mentioned all the competitive pressures that are out there. What's key for a community bank to really make it in this dynamic marketplace?
Well, it always goes back to key individuals in specific communities. Your ability to attract, retain, and develop people who are community leaders in the respective markets that you're in, that still is the crux of, in my opinion, of community banking. And those people that sit on local boards who are, who pay attention to the needs of the specific community in more ways than just the financial ways that they're leaders in church, they're involved in youth athletics. Those are the types of individuals that we've been able to, gain or retain, and that still has kept us connected with those communities and allows the leadership and the board of directors of our organization to understand each of those communities quite well.
Well, in addition to your work at First Farmers, to kind of add on to that, you also serve and give back to organizations in Indiana. First Farmers is an investor in Agrinovus. You're on the boards of the Grant County Economic Growth Council, Honeywell Foundation. You just talked about why it's so important to give back to community, in particular with Agrinovus and the ag bioscience movement in the state of Indiana. Why is that an important fit for the bank?
Well, in particular, I mentioned that we were about $100 million in assets when I joined 25 years ago. We're closing in on $2 billion. And the reason that we've been able to achieve that growth is that we have been able to recognize the technological innovation that has taken place. And it's not just underwriting for the traditional farm aspect that is emerging industries in bioscience, pharmaceuticals, animal care. All of the different things that are interrelated with agriculture have financial needs. So our business has particularly been attuned to being ahead of the game and understanding where that development is so we can make an adequate underwriting decision on those businesses. So we haven't evolved out of agriculture by any means. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the fact that, you know, half of our portfolio now is what you would consider non-ag commercial. Mm. So the traditional farm bank, quote unquote, has grown into supporting agriculture as a whole and the different mm-hmm. businesses and different industries that it affects. Mm-hmm. And Agrinovis is certainly a key part of that. And it has allowed us a very good opportunity to connect our people to those emerging types of projects, mm-hmm. Entrepreneurial efforts that will currently need or will need financing.
In your view, the importance of community banking, especially in rural communities, rural economic development can be very challenging in some areas around the state. How important, in your view, is that community bank, the presence of a community bank, when it comes to really helping to grow the economy?
Well, I think it's incredibly important. We still feel that rural communities can and will be viable. Mm-hmm. That there is a philosophy that exists in these types of communities that is impossible to replicate in major markets, and we see the passion that a lot of the families have in making sure that they continue to stay in place. Mm-hmm. And there's also a movement of people who post college and they went in and they're located in one of the what we traditionally call the Indianapolis donut communities, mm-hmm. or in the region, and they're seeing significant value to the way of life in rural communities, mm-hmm. and that there are lots of positives, and it isn't always, rural is dying and has mm-hmm. nothing to offer. We certainly want to be a part of that continued renaissance.
What in your view is important in making that happen? You bring out great points about the quality of life, the quality of place that rural Indiana offers, but yet a number of communities, they see the loss of talent. They see mm-hmm. people graduate from high school, go away to college, and don't come back. Mm-hmm. But there are positives to offer in rural communities. What's key to really making a rural community click?
I think the number one obstacle that we've had in rural communities is connectivity. Rural broadband is an absolute necessity. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I don't care what industry you're going to be involved in, I don't care what your personal pursuits are, you're going to need to be connected mm-hmm. You're going to need to be connected from a communication standpoint to the outside world. And it's amazing when you've got the degree of technology on some of these operations or some of these mm-hmm. industries, if that is a limiting factor, that is going to be a determinant. Mm-hmm. We've seen significant improvement and innovation in that area. And I think that's key. Mm-hmm. If you're able to eliminate that as a negative, you're going to continue to see those that find a small, well-connected and well-informed group a very positive place. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to see, people want to continue to get more remote, but mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. there is a definite passion for the communities that exist in this state that aren't Greater Indianapolis, Fort Wayne, or the region.
Yeah. And as you talk about technology and we talk about farming or the ag biosciences, people in the industry know this, but maybe the rest of Indiana may not understand how technologically oriented farming is today and how really, truly connected farming is to technology.
Oh, that can't be overstated. Gary, this year is a particular great example when you look at the extremes of the weather that we had. I was just talking up in Wabash to Howard Holderman and his father, who, we're talking about somebody who has been involved in agriculture significantly mm-hmm. for, good mm-hmm. 80 years.
Wow.
And when somebody with that level of experience and expertise says, Tate, I've never seen a year like this when it comes to weather. Well, the reason why we're able to have the harvest that we're having, which is a little bit more optimistic than it really could have been, is due to the, you know, the technology and the speed at which the machinery works, the technology and the genetics of the seeds that went into the ground, the resistance to all sorts of environmental factors that we can't control. So, you know, ag is as tied to technology as it has ever been. And we have great opportunities to have fantastic expertise in our university systems that we're tied to. So I would say the, you know, there's a great, that isn't really well understood, I think, in the mainstream is, you know, they think of it as very simple agrarian type of lifestyle. And it is very much that in a lot of ways culturally, but as far as our connection to technology and innovation, it is as it's as innovative as it ever has been.
Yeah, and given that, and this push for the ag biosciences and the university system, Purdue and others that connect to the industry, what do you see as? And you've touched on this already, but what do you see as opportunities for rural Indiana when it comes, in particular, to the ag biosciences and not just traditional farming, but all the various ancillary areas that, that connect to the ag bioscience space?
Well, I've certainly seen a lot more emphasis on biodiversity. You know, when we talk about things like sunflower oil, you know, hemp fiber, there is a much more there's a much more open-minded idea of what can be accomplished. And a lot of that is due to the fact that maybe we're putting things in the ground that wouldn't have seemed to be viable in our environment, or for one reason or another weren't necessarily available. So we see a lot more people thinking, okay, well, my grandfather used to do corn and soybeans, but I really want to be involved in the organic movement. I really want to be involved in different types of produce. You know, I really want to be involved in specialized types of meats to go to farm-to-table restaurants. So the fact that we've got so many options, that encourages innovation at the individual level. And again, you know, we're interested because as, you know, as a bank, we want to be able to understand enough about those industries and those facets of the ag industry so we can, you know, provide support from a financial standpoint.
Yeah. Tate is someone who obviously has an understanding of communications, public outreach. As you look at Indiana, what are some ways that you think the state can really further amplify the story here as a leader in the ag bioscience space?
Well, you know, that question, it's funny you should ask that, because that's originally why I got interested in the Agrinovus movement. And the fact, Beth Bechtel's specific statement to me was, you know, we're tired of this being a secret. You know, this is something that we can really hang our hat to. When somebody thinks of Silicon Valley, they instantly think of innovation. And we have a unique opportunity here in Indiana for innovation to be stemming from ag bioscience in particular. And that really kind of hit home with me, because we're not talking about it being that too long, you know, that long ago that, you know, the no-till drill was, you know, basically a, you know, a revolution, you know, obviously it revolutionized the ag industry in our state. And that hadn't been too long ago that that happened. And if you look at how much has changed from that, it's easy to see that you take that type of a parallel to the emerging technologies now in a variety of different fields. Indiana can absolutely be the leader. And that, to be able to, you know, to be able to have that type of a promotional aspect is imperative. And, you know, the connectivity to Purdue, the connectivity to a significant amount of different cutting edge and leading, you know, leading industries is key.
Tate Powell is Senior Vice President of Communications and Public Relations, a Director at First Farmers Bank and Trust. Tate, thanks for being with us. Great perspective on the ag bioscience space and what First Farmers is doing in community and beyond. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Gary. Really appreciated being here, and thank you for your continued work in this area.
Great. Thanks very much. Well, thank you also for joining us on this edition of the Ag Plus Bio Plus Science podcast, a weekly production partnership between Agrinovus Agrinovis Indiana and Inside Indiana Business. And you can keep up to date with Agrinovis by following them on Twitter and Instagram at AgrinovisIN. And you can also find Agrinovis on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts so we can share ag bioscience stories like this one with more and more people. Thanks for joining us. I'm Gary Dick. We'll see you next time.
This podcast is a product of Inside Indiana Business, hosted by Gary Dick, produced by Libby Fritz and Joe Ullery, and was recorded on location at Launch Fishers. More people get Indiana business news from Inside Indiana Business than any other source.